The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Dan O'Brien is the Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs, and I'm delighted to say that he's with me now. Dan, I appreciate your time. It's always good to talk to you. You have yourself been talking about this thesis that exists that in Ireland we lack strategy when it comes to our place in Europe. Is that right?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'd say that somebody else has made that point recently, quite provocatively. So at my institute last week, I had an event asking different people what they thought about that. So the context, I suppose, for this, Kieran, is that Europe is going through a period of flux. We've always had problems. We've often had problems in the past, the euro crisis, for example. But now we're going through a multiple period of change. How do we defend ourselves? Okay, the war in Ukraine has completely changed things. And we don't perceive that as much as people who live in Northern Europe or Eastern Europe, or Central Europe. And that has really had an effect on how people, politicians act and what might happen in the future. If we think of something like how we subsidize our economy, for years, Europe was against subsidies. And now there's a big change in thinking, for a number of reasons, about subsidizing economies. And small countries are worried about that, because we don't have the deep pockets the Germanys and the Frances have, where they could poach our investment by offering subsidies to businesses. So a lot of small countries are worried about that. That's another issue. What about trade? Again, the world has become much less favorable to free trade. All these economic security things, the rise of China just last week, Europe slapped big tariffs on Chinese electrical vehicles. So there's a big move by the EU. So all of these things are changing. And all of these things have a, you know, the EU has a big role in all of these things and could have a big role in defense in the future. So how do we position ourselves with all this change?
And do you see evidence of us knowing where we want to position ourselves?
I think
we still figuring it out?
In some areas, but I think everyone's still figuring it out. You know, when I talk to people in other European capitals about what they want, everyone, when you have so much change going on and you have the possibility of Donald Trump coming back in the United States next year, you have the possibility of Ukraine losing this war and Russia pushing right further, you know, closer to Central Eastern Western Europe. You know, these are huge changes that could come about in the short term. So everyone is kind of looking and trying to figure out what our new world is looking like. So that's very difficult to strategize about when you don't know what things are going to be like in the future and when you're very small. You know, we're a small country with very limited influence.
But the starting point is what is that the strategy that has served us well thus far is unlikely to serve us well into the future. If the fundamentals change, the strategy probably will have to change too.
Well, again, it comes down to this issue. Can small countries really have strategies? Because you're bobbing around on the ocean as a cork.
Yeah.
You're not controlling much. So the big thing for a small country like Ireland is to be tactically smart. You know, the old Irish expression, an Tainach with Lauder ni Flora ve Glick, if you're not strong, you should be smart.
Mm.
So you have that tactical ability to build alliances with people who have similar views. So Ireland has done that to some extent with the northern Baltic countries.
Yeah, sorry to cut across you there in the middle of your point, but I remember Pascal Donohue used to talk about this, the Northern Hanseatic League, the new Hanseatic League he talked about. And I guess it's no longer on the agenda, Brexit and our relationships within Europe to a degree, so maybe most people have forgotten about it. Tell us a little bit, has that happened? Has there been a kind of a strengthening of bonds?
Yes, there certainly has. Okay. And Ireland continues that when the Taoiseach goes to meet the other leaders for the EU summits, the Baltic three and the Nordic three meet, and the Taoiseach has been joining that. It's a possibility that group will expand. So that's good to have an alliance, a grouping like that, that you share similar views on. Because, you know, seven small countries can do a lot more than one country on its own. So that's important. But, you know, we still, another big change for us in particular is Britain leaving. On many issues, particularly economic issues, we had the same view as Britain. And Britain, of course, is a much bigger civil service, a good diplomatic service. So they did a lot of the heavy lifting. And a lot of countries, smaller northern countries, sort of let Britain take the lead. They would do the heavy lifting, the hard work. They had more officials and they'd do the hard work. And Northern Europe has really missed Britain in the EU because they don't have a sort of like-minded big country, which makes it all the more important that they get closer together.
Do you feel that we're living through then a period of change that we will look back on as a kind of a kind of a turning point or an axis? We'll say kind of there was a kind of a pre and post this point in time.
Yeah, the February 2022 was the
is okay the invasion the of Ukraine
turning point. And as I say, you know, the scale of that in terms of people being afraid of being invaded. You know, I spoke to somebody from Finland. You know, they ended their long decades of neutrality. They'd never joined NATO, and within months they had gone into NATO. So afraid were they that they could be next and they could end up in a fighting war with Russia, as they had in the 1940s. So it's profoundly changed things, and that has had knock-on economic effects. And then there's all of these other economic changes as well. So if I'd have to put a date on when things really changed, yeah. You know, a little like September 2008 when Lehman Brothers crashed and our banks came down, you know, that was a real defining moment, that period. February 22 strikes me as being the big turning point in European history since that time.
And when it comes to a couple of the issues you mentioned, you know, trade and tax, I would suggest, and maybe you might disagree, we're fairly kind of utilitarian when it comes to what tactics might serve us well in those areas. But when it comes to defence, that's a debate that's absolutely awash with ideology in this country. So how difficult then is it for us to kind of to negotiate our way as a little cork bobbing along in the ocean when ideology is what drives the debate?
Yeah, it's a really, foreigners find it very, very hard to understand how we talk about neutrality. There's a kind of view that in some way we're actually virtuous for not defending ourselves. Like if you look around, every single one of our neighbors in the North Atlantic, from Canada and America up to Iceland, Norway, all the way down to Portugal, every single one of our Atlantic neighbors is in NATO and believes they're in NATO to protect themselves. That's the reason they're in. In Ireland, many people have this kind of view that we're sort of virtuous for not defending ourselves. Now, other people, you know, I don't know any other country in the world where people think they're good or better people for not defending themselves. Defending yourself is one of the basic things states do. Mm. And our conversation on this is very odd, but, you know, things could change fast. You know, the European Union has just appointed a defense commissioner. So, you know, our own European Commission, of which we're part of, there is now a defense commissioner. Other European countries are ramping up their spending on armaments. They're rearming. You know, how long can we be completely ignoring that and not contribute to the defence of this part of Europe? You know, I could see us having a referendum on this before too long.
And do you suspect the upshot of that would be a closer alignment with Europe and defence policies within Europe rather than NATO? I get the sense NATO still carries too much baggage.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think if the rest of Europe decide, for example, if Trump comes in, gets back, and decides basically that he won't guarantee Europe's security via NATO, the European countries are going to have to do something.
Mm.
Now, could they decide that they were going to build out their political economic union and make it a defense union as well? And if they do that, there's a constitutional prohibition in our constitution for joining up to that. We then have to have a debate and a referendum, decide, are we going to join the rest of Europe and be part of this new big area? Or are we going to opt out and say to everyone, no, we're not contributing to the defence of ourselves and Europe? And I actually think that we'd have a rational debate and there'd be much less ideology, and that I wouldn't be at all surprised if that referendum passed and we joined up.
Is there an alternative view of the future whereby Kamala Harris becomes president and she hikes up US corporate tax rates to pay for middle-class tax cuts, and it's kind of a boon for the Irish economy, and the conflict in Ukraine doesn't work out the way Vladimir Putin is hoping, and everything goes back to the way it was?
I don't think everything will go back to the way it was. Again, the psychological change that's happened in so much of Europe because of this, I don't think things will go back to the way they were. But I think you're absolutely right. Things could turn out well, particularly, you know, if the US becomes a place where more businesses want to get out of. You know, nobody expected when corporation tax was reformed internationally. Most people expected this to mean less corporation tax for Ireland. It's actually led to much more. So is it possible we could get even more? Yes, I think that's possible if you had a president that, you know, chased business out of North America and we'd be the obvious place to come to, or one of the obvious places. So certainly we live in a world where, I don't want to sound catastrophic, there's almost too much catastrophizing around these days. There could certainly be good outcomes, and We've come through so many shocks this decade. So it's not all negative, but I think we need to prepare for change, think about it and make decisions that will help us get to the point we want to get to.
And are we collectively as a society thinking about it enough?
No, I would say we're not, but I would say that. Okay, I work for a think tank. You know, that's kind of my area. So, you know, I definitely say that we don't spend enough time and our political class maybe doesn't show enough leadership. I was just speaking to an ambassador privately, and, you know, that person was making the point that we're kind of slow to get things done here. Things don't move as quickly as they should. And my answer to that was that, you know, our politicians tend to focus more on their local issues, and they're not as focused on, you know, big policy and leading as maybe they could. And that, you know, we then end up not having conversations that we might should have conversations about. And defence, in my view, defence and security is just one we really need to have, because I'm worried about it, I'll be frank.
Well, listen, it's a conversation I've enjoyed, Dan. So thanks a million for coming in to us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.